Okay, let's talk about the roads. Lynn, good morning to you. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on fine, Greg.
That's good to hear, Lynn. Right, it's okay.
How are you? Good?
I'm doing all right, you know, broadly fine. Now, we're talking about a stretch of road close to the Good and New Cancer shop, the Good and New Cancer charity shop.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
There's a small road as you turn off the new road, the Joe Bonner Road, and you come in the back of it to the Good and New charity shop.
Mm-hmm.
Plus apartments on there as well. And we reported it when it was potholes, Greg. It's now duck ponds.
My word.
You could put ducks in them. There's several there. We have wrote letters to the council, emailed the council, not just me. Our volunteers have done that, and so has our customers. Now, somebody's going to wreck their car on it, and it's dangerous coming out onto them roads in the evening because people are going round the potholes to try and get away from them, but it's ridiculous. And I just want to know who owns the road. If the council doesn't own it, the council should get somebody to sort it.
So is this the main road into Good and New?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and we are only a charity, Greg, but a lot of people have said they're not driving their cars on it anymore to come in to visit us. Even patients have said they'll get the bus out on the road before they'll bring their cars in to get the bus to go to Galway for their treatment.
Wow.
That's how bad it has got.
Yes, go ahead.
A newspaper or, you know, somebody would come down and take pictures of it because that's how bad it is. Greg, you could swim in it, never mind a duck.
Wow. Okay. You send us pictures in as well. We can platform them here as well. But it's always good to get as much media on this as is possible. You've been on to the council, on to local reps. No success so far, obviously.
I've been on to several reps. They said that doesn't belong to them, they can't fix it. But Greg, somebody put a pavement right into our shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the Good New Cancer shop. And somebody put broadband and whatever fibre optic went in on the same road. So if they put the pavement in and the broadband, you know, the hole for the broadband,
yes.
Why can they not fill them potholes? Because we're going to lose out. We're a charity. As you know, everyone we get, it's the Donegal people that give it to us. We're only volunteers, but we'll just have to close up and go. You know, we just can't do anything if people's going to stop coming in to support us.
Right, okay. And I suppose it comes down to who owns this road. Is it a private development? If it's a private development, who put the footpath in? If it's a public road, why is it being allowed to fall into such disrepair?
A brand new Joe Bonner road, like, and then you turn off and then you're following. I mean, the road had to get fixed at some stage there. Over to the, you know, the apartments, the village or whatever. I don't really know what you call the apartments. But, like, there's lots, the school buses are complaining. The buses, you know, that pick up the kids. Mm. I mean, that road's going in. It's the back of McGinley's and the gym. So, like it is a road that's used. But I'm just fearing for her, the Good New Charity. Because, as I say, we rely on people to help us out. And it's getting harder, as you know. And now the big craters on the road, and I really mean craters.
Yeah, send some pictures in to me, Lynn, will you?
Yeah, I will.
If you don't mind. Okay,
yeah, I will,
send them
Greg.
Send them into the Highland number, and we'll get to let people see what we're talking about. Lynn, thanks for that for now. Take care of yourself, Lynn.
And thank you so much for letting me on.
No, it's important. My word, it's important.
God bless. Thank you.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Take care of yourself. Okay, some more of your comments here. I heard the parents on today and feel for them as I've been there. Been here, done that. But thankfully, education is moving forward and more schools have ASD units in place to accommodate children. There's a blog here which may help. Kevin and other parents are entitled. Ignorance is the tragedy. So you go to autismdad.ie. There's a blog there. Of course, John Joe, a regular guest on this show. They say ignorance, or he says ignorance is the tragedy, not autism. Hello, we had to move our son from fifth class in our local school after an essay nay said to him she wouldn't give him his water bottle until he tied his shoelaces. He has dyspraxia also, which could potentially, dependent on how the dyspraxia affects him, make that actually physically impossible, if not incredibly difficult. And withholding water to try and encourage a child with a condition that may not allow them to do something. Maybe the SNA's heart was in the right place. But anyway, it must have escalated beyond that. because this family moved the son from fifth class over the head of that. My autistic granddaughter is 14, has always been treated well by the school that she went to, which is great, fantastic. And I'm sure maybe the majority of people's experience is a positive one, but we can't have any children left behind either, and that's why we have to platform it. It is not to say the entire system is broken or every school is the same, but we can only give parents a voice when they feel unheard. That's what we do here. But I am glad to hear that your daughter's experience is very difficult. Oh, different, I beg your pardon. Hi, my heart goes out to them parents. It's a bloody joke the way children are treated in schools. Thank God I don't have any child with needs. But see, when my children were at national school, the stories they came home with would scare you. I had one girl that used to come home and cry her heart out the way some wee ones were treated at her school, and these children had special needs by some staff. I was afraid to talk out in case my children were picked on for telling tales. To this day, my children still talk about and that's going back 10 years. I thought things had moved on, but my God, I feel so sorry for them. I think when you're going to work with children, you need to have to be a caring adult, not just there for the money. Okay, now let's say hello to Deputy Michael Fitzmaurice. He's Chair of the Turf Cutters and Contractors Association. Good morning to you, Deputy. Thanks for your time today.
No problem. How are you?
I'm doing good. What's your reaction to the news that Ireland is to be referred to the EU Court of Justice for not doing enough to protect our bogs? Is this the beginning of another turf war?
First of all, it's a retrograde step. It's actually disgusting what the EU have done, because over the last number of years, a huge amount of work has been put in by both the turf cutting community, by the turf cutters and contractors, and indeed the national parks, on the raised bogs. And there was 57 complexes under the Habitats Directive. They have restored something like 23 of them, and there's a small amount of turf cutting going on in about 12 of them. That's been resolved year by year, and there's a good relationship built up from a very protracted relationship in 2011 and 12 with the national parks in resolving these issues. They also made reference to blanket bogs. The reality of blanket bogs is it's actually minuscule. When you look at the amount of blanket bogs that's around this country, it's minuscule, the amount of turf being cut. And in actual fact, people stay within their own boundaries at that. It's a pity that whoever decided to refer this, and I actually went over myself in, I don't know, it was September or October, to the commission. I met the people from the commission and the legal people and the scientific people, and I was explaining to them the amount of work that's been done here in Ireland. And it's ironic that the only country in Europe that's actually doing restoration works at the moment is the country that's being brought in front of the ECJ. I asked yesterday, would I be allowed to give evidence at it? Because I think that they need to know from basically the horse's mouth, or you know, from people affected by it, what's going on. And I was told that no, it's all legal arguments. You cannot. You cannot go over and give the evidence. So it's basically a kangaroo court. It won't be happening for 2 years. The court case, so you're referred first, and then it takes up to 2 years before it happens. But what people must realise is, you know, it's very easy for someone to give out and say, oh, turf cutters are this, that, and the other. The reality of it is we are talking about private property. So If they are trying to restore certain areas on the raised bogs, especially, which is totally different to the blanket bogs, they need the goodwill of the local communities. And by doing what they've done yesterday, in my opinion, they have demolished that in one foul swoop.
But why now? Because this has been threatened for quite some time. The government statistics indicate that there's been a complete cessation of turf cutting on almost 80% of the raised bogs since 2011,
right.
A reduction of 40% on 2022 turf cutting levels in 2023 in raised bogs. So, I mean, obviously, you know, we don't see the trailers of turf around the place as much as we used to. There's been a ban on commercial selling of turf. So why this? Why now? When they seem to be getting their own way?
It's a good question. Like, the reality of it is that unfortunately, these bureaucrats in the commission don't understand that if you look at new houses now, there's no chimney in them. That's the reality. If you look at the age profile of people that cuts turf, look at it. I'm a contractor. I have a fair knowledge of it. And you're looking at people, 70
and it's a sunset practice,
older.
Isn't it? It's naturally dying out.
And why they're using a sledge to crack a nut, I don't know, is the straight answer to you. It is a foolish move. It is a move that could set the whole process and the goodwill that was built up, it could set the whole process back 10 years again. And look at it. I cannot answer for the commission what to do, but it shows nearly like a bullying tactic towards this country, which shouldn't be accepted by Irish citizens.
It seems that the government, the state, is putting up a robust defence, and will it defend its position in front of the ECJ? On this issue, you and they seem to at least be on the right side of things, or the same side of things, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, well, I welcome that the state has acknowledged the amount of work and the amount of goodwill from ordinary turf-cutting communities out there. I want to acknowledge that. I want to thank them for coming out so robust that they will defend what they have done. And in fairness, they have a lot of work done. I saw a day when we wouldn't talk to each other. It took years of trying to build trust, because it was very protracted, as you can remember, in 2011, 12 or 13. And it took years to put that together. And my God, it's sad to see a foreign power trying to demolish that with one referral in the line of a letter. Like, it is sickening, to be quite frank about it.
And just very finally, go ahead, Deputy.
But in fairness to the state, they have come out robust and said, we are going to defend the pathway we're on, working with communities and working with turf cutters. Because at the end of the day, if they want to go the sledgehammer route, we can go back into the trenches, and they will never, as long as they live, get what they want. So it's up to them now to pull back and have a bit of common sense.
And finally, and this can sometimes get lost in the coverage, your average person out there wants to know what, if any, implications this might have for them. For those that still cut a bit of turf,
what does this mean
for this summer, next summer? Does it mean anything in reality? Just
to be clear, the way people will know, on undesignated bogs, this doesn't have anything got to do whatsoever with it, right? Mm-hmm. So just be clear on that. This is on the designated bogs around the country. And if you look at the raised bog SACs, there's about 12 out of the 57 that there's a small amount of turf cutting going on. And over the coming years, that will be resolved. But if they basically come the bully, they will get their answer back fairly quick.
All right, thanks for your time. I do appreciate it. That's Deputy Michael Fitzmaurice there, an independent, but also chair of the Turf Cutters and Contractors Association. Now, Highland Radio is delighted to have teamed up with Vodafone to promote their High Digital initiative. Do you want to know how you can learn online skills for everyday life? Well, Vodafone Foundation, in partnership with Alone, have created online skills training for older people. The training is available online at highdigital.ie, that's highdigital.ie, or via in-person classes in Convoy. And with the right support, you don't have to be scared of technology and can embrace it, and it can enrich your life as well. Have a listen to this morning's tip here, along with that read.
Here's an online safety tip brought to you by High Digital. Free online skills for everyday life supported by Vodafone Foundation in partnership with Alone. When using the internet, you should be mindful of scams and frauds. Scams are when someone tries to trick you. A fraud is when someone tries to steal from you. These dangers come in many forms. Common ones include messages pretending to be from tech support, requiring personal information from you, social and romance scams, asking for financial aid, and grandparent scams, where scammers may impersonate a loved one in distress requesting money. Scams and frauds try to exploit our personal nature of gaining through an opportunity, or avoiding a loss, or wanting to help others. Be aware of potential scams and frauds. If you would like to learn more about how to identify these, visit highdigital.ie or call 1800 20 30 30 for more information. Brought to you by Vodafone Foundation and Alone.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Little Miss Mary, Katie, are you ready for me to go to you? Give me a thumbs up if you are. Yes, okay. I just wanted to make sure you were all settled and set. How are you getting on, Katie?
Good.
Where are you?
In New York.
You are in New York. And what are you doing in New York, Katie?
I'm going in the parade on Saturday.
And how excited are you?
Very excited.
Okay, because you had the great experience, didn't you, of being crowned Little Miss Mary. And that was quite some time ago. And now the big day's arrived. It is very exciting, of course, isn't it?
Yeah, very exciting.
And do you know yet what you have to do in the parade?
Well, I'll be walking with all the other New York Marys and Adele and Little Miss Mary, Lena, from last year.
Brilliant. And you've got your outfit chosen and with you, obviously. That's all sorted.
Yeah.
And your sash. No one's forgotten. Mummy didn't forget the sash, no? Or your
no,
granny?
It's
sorry,
in my
granny.
Bag.
Okay, right. You're with. Who's off with you? Granny Kathleen and Sister Magella, is that right?
Yeah, my Auntie Magella.
Sorry, I beg your pardon.
And my granny sister Maureen.
Okay, lovely stuff. And how long have you been there? Have you had a chance to see any of New York yet?
Well, we landed yesterday and we went out in Times Square.
Oh, wow. What time is it there now?
It's half seven.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't feel so bad then. I thought I was getting you up in the middle of the night. Right now, this is a very special day for you in more ways than one, isn't it? Because you are the big one too. You're 12 today, aren't you?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Katie. I want to see those balloons. Move the camera slightly. Make sure you don't catch anyone else in the room, but just let me see the balloons. Oh, wow. Excellent stuff. All right. What a way to spend your 12th birthday. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, very fun and exciting.
Are all your friends jealous?
Yeah.
What's the food like over there? Is it nice? Have you eaten yet?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Very good.
We went to a diner.
Oh, wow. Like on the TV?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want to do. I've never been to New York, but I want to do what the stuff you see on the TV. You know what I mean? That's what I want to do. What did you have? A burger, I take it. You had a burger, obviously, didn't you?
Yeah, burger and chips.
Nice. Okay, very good. So, there's a massive event. It's on Saturday or Sunday, the parade, sorry?
Saturday.
Right, so it's a massive parade. I'm sure you've looked at the pictures and the videos, so you knew what to expect and all of that kind of stuff. Are you okay with attention, with the streets being lined, everyone watching you and the rest of the Marys and all the other people taking part of the parade? Are you all excited for that?
Yeah, very excited.
All right, brilliant stuff. And have you anything, not that you need anything else because you're spoilt rotten as it is, do you have anything planned particularly for your birthday today?
I'm going to go to Build-A-Bear.
Oh, wow, fantastic. Well, listen, we said yesterday that we wanted to say hello to you because I think it's very, very special and you're out there representing Dunloe and representing the county as well. We hope you have a fantastic birthday today. Again, happy birthday and really enjoy the parade on Saturday. It's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's an amazing thing for you. I'm so delighted.
Yeah, very exciting and I'm very excited for it.
Do you want to say hello to anyone before I let you go?
To Anne-Marie McCullough, who met me at the airport.
Oh, lovely.
My school and all of my teachers.
Do you have a favourite teacher?
Probably Miss Galligan.
Oh, yes. You're supposed to say all of them, Katie. But come here, listen, we can't. No, I'm joking. No, you're not really. I'm joking, Katie. Of course not. It's perfectly okay. Listen, have a lovely time and soak it all up. You'll do us all very proud, representing Dunloe, of course, and the county, and yourself and your family and friends and school. Thank you very much, and a very big happy birthday to you as well, Katie. Lots of requests coming in for you.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. I'll let you go and have breakfast. Take care of yourself. Thank you. Okay, live to New York. I just thought it'd be nice to say hello to Little Miss Mary. Okay, let us see what's happening across the region for St. Patrick's Day. We'll go first to Eamon McLaughlin, Chair of the Mayville St. Patrick's Day Committee. Good morning to you, Eamon.
Good morning, Greg, and Live here from sunny Mayville.
Sunny Mayville, from New York to Mayville. We're just hopping around the globe. And I heard Katie more clearer than I'm hearing you, but you're on the phone and that's fine. Right, so what's happening over the weekend, Eamon?
Well, we have a very packed programme for the whole weekend. We have, on the Friday evening, we have an Irish language chorus section at 7 o'clock in the corner bar. And then we're followed that by the bingo in St. Eugene's Hall. And with a lot of prizes there, with the top prize of €300.
Nice.
We've an Irish themed quiz in Rosado's Bar at 10 o'clock, and then traditional music then in the corner bar at 10 o'clock. And then on Saturday, we have a 5K run at 11 o'clock. We have a treasure hunt at 4 o'clock, and then we have traditional music and dance in the Trollman at 10 o'clock. And then on the big day itself, St. Patrick's Day, the parade will start at 2:30 sharp. And we have folk music before and after the parade with the Celtic Knights. Oh, wow. So we have a very, very packed programme.
Are the Celtic Knights in a pub or are they outdoors? Or what's
They're open. No, they're out playing on a big stage in the square.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And a very, very good traditional group. And I'm sure you've heard of them or maybe heard them live.
Yeah.
So, and then we're going to have the presentation of prizes on the following Friday at 9 o'clock. So, and we've RTE are coming down to cover it as well. So, we should be in the news clips on the 601 News on Sunday evening.
Nice one. Keep an eye out for that. Eamon, well done to you and the organising committee. Have a lovely weekend.
Will do. And thank you very much. And we just, when I'm on here, Greg,
please, go ahead.
Just wish every other St. Paddy's Day committee the best of luck on their parades as well, because a lot of time and effort are put into organising these things. And, it's good to see every community enjoy their day, so good luck to all our praise as well.
Excellent, and exactly the reason why we're doing the call around. Well done to you. Take care of yourself. Paul Quinn, Niamh Colum Kill, a member of the Niamh Colum Kill Club in Newtown Cunningham. Good morning to you, Paul. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Greg. Thank you for having us.
No problem. So the focus, is it the St. Patrick's Day brunch?
Yes, absolutely. We're kicking the St. Patrick's Day celebrations off early at Niamh Colum Kill, 11:45 a.m. to 1:15 p.m. at the clubhouse. We're going to have Irish dancers, local traditional Irish musicians, and even a few special guests. So we're going to be serving tea and scones and sausage baps to set everyone up for the day. So great way to start the St. Patrick's Day celebrations, whether you're on the way to a parade or want to have a bit of traditional music and see some Irish dancing. It's in Newton Cunningham at the Niamh Colum Kill GA Club, just off the main road as you're heading towards Letterkenny, or across from Cairn and Spar, from 11:45 a.m. to 1:15 p.m. at the Niamh Colum Kill Clubhouse.
What a way to line your stomach ahead of the celebrations. Brilliant stuff. Hopefully you have a huge turnout. Plenty of entertainment there as well. At the sausage bap stand to die for. But anyway, it's going to be big. Thanks, Paul. Best of luck with it.
Yeah, sure. Everyone's welcome. Everyone's welcome. Join us for some crack and kill.
Excellent.
You.
Well done. Thank you so very much indeed. James Devenny of Letterkenny CDP joins us now. Hi, James.
Hello, Greg. How are you?
I am doing good. Right, what's coming up?
We have, on the St. Patrick's Day itself, we have our usual float in the parade, but also from 1 p.m. until 3 p.m, we have an afternoon of fun and crack on in the middle deck in the Courtyard Shopping Centre.
Right.
We have face painting for the children. We have arts and crafts. We have children's games there as well. We also have a table where they're going to be cookie decorating, where there's cookies, and the children will be decorating the cookies with their for St. Patrick's Day. We also have Anne Boyle's famous Irish stew there as well. There's tea and refreshments there. There will also be mocktails, alcohol-free cocktails, on the day as well. We also have Irish music. We have some Irish dancers. A lot of free family fun and an alcohol-free environment. It's a pre-parade party from 1 p.m. until 3 p.m. in the middle deck in the courtyard.
Brilliant.
The stew and the cookie decorating and the arts and crafts are held in the CDP offices. It's in the corner unit in the middle deck in the courtyard.
Brilliant. Why confine your day out to just the parade? You know, get out early, either head for the sausage baps that we heard of just before. You will get into town nice and early and have some good fun in a free family fun, alcohol-free pre-parade fun, kill, August, crack and stew. Listen, brilliant stuff. Yep. All right, James, listen, best of luck with it. And also, you're weatherproof. All right, James, thanks very much. Rightio, let's go to Rosie Deeney, member of the committee of the Buncrana St. Patrick's Day Parade. Good morning, Rose. I beg your pardon, the name is obscured. Is it Rosie?
Rosh,
okay.
It's Rosh Deeney, yeah.
Rosh Deeney, lovely
morning,
to have
Greg.
You on board, Rosh. Now, come here, you have been planning this for a long time, haven't you?
We have. We probably had our first meeting in November. We are a new committee. We only took over last year. There's six of us. So last year was just a learning year, and now we're on track for this year.
All right. It's always great fun in Buncrana, and it'll be no less fun this year. Vintage car display. Love that.
Yeah, we have a vintage car display at 1:30 at the shorefront beside the swimming pool in Buncrana. And then the cars will be joining the parade, but they'll be parked up for an hour and a half or so, so people can go and have a look and take photos.
Brilliant. That's at the shorefront.
There's also, the shorefront at the swimming pool. There's at 1:30 also, pre-parade, there is a traditional music session happening in the Scarvey at the GAA clubhouse, which would be great to get into the mood. And we also have live music on the Market Square at 1:30 from the Tearaways.
Oh, wow. Brilliant.
And then the parade is beginning at 3:00.
And it's going to be a cracking parade, as it always is. The roads will be closed from 2:30 till 5:00, but it's an easy town to get around, so that's okay. And it means it's a nice, safe, pedestrianised space, bar the floats, obviously, and what have you, between 2:30
exactly.
and 5:00.
Yeah.
It's going to start at 3:00, so don't be late. Get in, get your position and enjoy.
That's right. We've loads of floats and walking parades, marching bands. Lots happening after the parade, and nearly every single pub there's something happening. O'Flaherty's have advertised that you can leave your pram out the back under a canopy if you want to park up your car or park up your pram and carry your children then to watch the parade.
I thought that was a good idea. I was just going to leave the kid in the pram out the back of O'Flaherty's and go on the lash. But they're not providing that service.
No, definitely not. Okay. And then afterwards there'll be family. There'll be traditional music as well, so children are welcome. Also, the plaza have a family fun day as well. You know, if anybody wants to avoid pubs, there's going to be like bouncy castles and tea and coffee in a tuck shop.
Brilliant. So just to remind, leave the pram, but take your child out of the pram. Come here, Rosh. It's going to be a cracking day in Buncrana. Absolutely no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. And the weather looks like
it's
going to be brilliant too.
Exactly. Yeah. Happy days. Great. Take care. David Alcorn, former councillor, of course, talking to us about the Burton Port Parade. Hi, David. Hope all's well with you. How are you keeping?
Very good, Greg. And thanks very much for giving us the opportunity.
Right. Sell it to us, David.
Yeah, it's not a parade as such, like most other towns and villages have. Ours is an indoor show, and it's been held for a long number of years now, between 12 midday and 2 o'clock on St. Patrick's Day. Now, what's there? It's an open an Irish tradition day, or a Wae Gaela, as we would call it in Irish, and there's all kinds of everything there. There's a donation bucket at the door when you come in, and it's completely voluntary, whatever you want to give to it. There's music, Irish dancing, marching bands, or two local bands, and maybe a third, Irish stew, and other refreshments.
Wow.
Now, there's also a whole lot of draws and very, very valuable prizes. And at this stage, on behalf of our committee, I would like to thank very much all those who donated the lovely prizes that's in it. And other special people always in Ireland, without a good committee, these things are not possible. There's a lot of work goes into it. This indoor event that we have is on the road now, maybe 12 to 15 years, And we've always had a very, very strong committee, mostly ladies. And I just want to compliment them this year again on the tremendous work they're doing. And the other thing there to greet you at the door as well, of course, will be St. Patrick himself. That's always a tradition we had. Brilliant. That he was the main guest.
Yeah. On and the it day runs and from noon till 2 p.m, so you can fit it into your day as well. You can do other stuff before and after as well, which is quite nice. But it's all in one place. A busy 2 hours of music, Irish dancing, marching bands, two, possibly three. Irish stew again, other refreshments. And there's a draw as well with very valuable prizes. And lots of fun for all the family. And it promises, as it always is, it can stand on its reputation, David. Thanks to the great organisers. It's going to be a wonderful 2 hours, I've no doubt.
And just finally, the proceeds, and that's a very, very important thing over the years for three very, very good organisations, I believe. Number one, the RNLI. Number two, St. Columbus Community Centre itself, which has been there now for over 30 years and is available to all kinds of people every day of the year. And the other one is our beloved festival. And would you believe it or not, this year in 2024, we're celebrating our 48th annual festival, I think, which is a great accomplishment itself.
It truly is. Well done, David, and lovely to speak to you again. Thank you very much for that. Now, you're invited, Cancer Care West are inviting you to join them for St. Patrick's Day Coffee Morning. It is today, in fact. It starts at 11 a.m, so it's underway as we speak. So not too late, though, for you to call in to Cancer Care West, Pierce Road, Letterkenny, to get your St. Patrick's Day weekend off to an early start, and you're supporting Cancer Care West. So if you're about, drop in now to the Cancer Care West, Pierce Road, Letterkenny. There's a Cayley Dancing in Convoy from 8 p.m. till 11 p.m. It's in the Parochial Hall in Convoy. I presume that's on St. Patrick's Day, so that's another way to finish off your celebrations. Let us go to Noel McBride, from one former councillor to another, in fact. Good morning to you, Noel. How are you keeping?
Good morning, Greg. I'm keeping well. And yourself?
I am doing fantastic. And I know, I'm sure, plans are well afoot for the Meva St. Patrick's Day Parade, the Carrigart Patrick's Day Parade. It's under the auspices of the Meva St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee. So what's happening? What's happening this weekend, Noel? Sell it.
It's happening on Sunday, 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day. The parade starts at 1 p.m. from the Chapel Car Park in Carrigart. I suppose we've been described as a small town, which we are, but we have a big parade, and we're looking forward to another big parade this year. There will be traffic restrictions in place from 12:15, and we will be led by the Devlin Rea School Band, as usual, and then we will have our local voluntary services, the Meva Voluntary Fire Service and the Meva Coast Guard. And we have lots of floats lined up as well, and we're asking that the floats would assemble at around 12:30 at the Chapel Car Park. And then we have smaller children's groups and that, and they would assemble at Logue's Pub just on the outskirts of the village. So we'll have John Bosco there, our resident DJ. John's there every year with to keep us entertained. And we'll have lots of other small events just taking place around the area. And as well, our event has been streamed live throughout the world on our Meva St. Patrick's Day Parade
Facebook page. Yeah.
And that, thanks to Martin Fleming Photography.
Brilliant
stuff.
So we're
looking forward to
it. So it starts at 1 o'clock.
Starts at 1 o'clock from the Chapel Car Park, all been well, and just goes over into the village, and then they go through the village, and when they come back, we present some prizes. We have different prizes for different categories. And looking forward to a good afternoon's fun around the village. And I suppose, as well, at 5 p.m. in the evening, the parade will take place in Downings, our neighbouring village, and there'll be an evening's crack there. So we're hoping that we'll have a good day and a good day's fun, and that people will turn out with their floats with some ideas, some nice ideas coming forward. But it's hard to no one wants to let the cat out of the bag on themselves until the day.
Well, sure, isn't that part of the crack? There's always a couple of characters will surprise people. Don't worry about that. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the Devlin Rhea School Band will leading out. It's streamed live on Facebook if you're you're from the area and you want to feel like you're at home. It's a tough old time of the year for Irish people to be away from home as well. It's on Sunday. It's from the Chapel car park at 1 p.m. Noel McBride, you'll be doing the MC work. I'm sure no one's going to wrestle that microphone off you just yet, are they?
Well, I think it's coming near that time.
I don't think so. And sure, who else could do a better job than yourself? Noel, thank you so much. I'm sure it'll be a great day.
Well, looking forward to it. Sure, you might pay us a visit yourself.
Oh, you don't, you know it, sir. I'm a local now.
We're looking forward to seeing you there, sir.
See you, Noel. Bye-bye. That's Noel McBride of the Meva St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee. The parade starts through Carrigart at 1 p.m. and then Downing's at 5 p.m. Right, OK. Let me go to Tony Forrester, CEO of Letterkenny Chamber. Good morning, Tony. Did I see correctly that you had a recent birthday?
I did.
Well, can I say happy birthday to you on behalf of
thank you so much.
Okay, brilliant stuff.
Thank you.
You can celebrate.
Yeah, we have to mark these milestones.
Yes, of course. You're only 41.
I'm going to celebrate all week, really.
Okay, right. So, Letterkenny, there's going to be thousands in attendance, of course. As is tradition, I think, the parade is on Sunday at 3 p.m, but entertainment starts long before that. As we heard from the CDP, and we heard too from the formerly the Loft Centre, there's lots of other stuff going on around that people can check out as well before and after for people with different interests. But we'll focus, I suppose, on entertainment on the square from 1:30. Take it from there, please.
Yeah, so we've entertainment on the square, I think, with Cam Keaveney entertaining us from the stage at 1:30 on the Market Centre. Then also up the street outside McGettigan's Hotel from about 2 o'clock, we have the ukulele band with Your Own Donal in that. And outside the Lakes Bar, actually, we have a band from Roday in France. And that's very exciting. So that's brand new this year. They ask, could they come into the parade? So that'll keep people. So as people gather, they can go and listen to some of that music. And then the parade itself starts immediately at 3 o'clock from what station roundabout, and just meanders its way up through the town.
And what's nice about St. Patrick's Day, I think, Tony, too, is we see our different areas in different ways. So the cars are off the road. I mean, obviously there's vehicles in parades and what have you. But it's just nice, isn't it, to be able to knock about the place, you know, in a sort of a pedestrianised feeling and loads of other people there. It just creates a really nice buzz.
It really does. And people arrive from all different places and everything. And then I've just remembered we have our photo booth as well, which usually is located right beside the Bank of Ireland. And that's a free photo that you can get commemorating the day. And that's actually Highland Radio sponsoring the parade itself. So that's been sponsored by Highland Radio as well. So that gives people a memorial. You know, they bring their family and have a bit of crack doing that just before the parade. And the parade itself, you know, we have the mixture of everything. If anybody's ever been to Letterkenny Parade, you know, you'll have lots and lots of young people in the gymnastics group, the dance groups. They're fabulous. Mm. Every year they turn out in their hundreds. Mm. And we have the mixture then of vintage cars. And this year as well, we're part of Social Inclusion Week. So we have Donegal Volunteer Centre is putting in an entry.
Lovely.
As well as we have the Donegal African community and the Georgian community, among others. And last year, I think for the first time, maybe the year before, we had the cricket club, and that includes a lot of the Indian community. So it'll be really cool. It'll be brilliant this year, just in terms of the diversity of people.
Now, the road closures are out there. They're on the Highland Radio, or at least certainly they're out there, and they're on the Garda Síochána Facebook page. And people who need assistance in getting to enjoy it, all the plans are in place to accommodate that as well. But the one final question, Tony, that really needs an answer is, how in God's name did you get Fionnuala Robert to open her dusty cobweb-ridden purse to sponsor the parade?
We must have got her on a brilliant day. She was in good form. I asked for a particular amount of money,
I
and I got
a whole other
amount of money.
Here. Gin and tonics must have been in play.
No, not quite. I might have to buy her a few gin and tonics.
I think so.
But we're delighted. And actually, I probably should say lots and lots of businesses, you'll have seen them on our social media, have sponsored, have given us every type of size of money, and it's been fabulous. We have to make money to pay for the parade.
Of course.
And it's amazing what they've done this year for us.
Lovely stuff. It's going to be a great day. Everyone knows that. And there's lots of stuff on the periphery as well that's being advertised and plugged separately. So it's a great day from start to finish. Thank you very much. Take care of yourself, Tony, and happy birthday to you once again. Okay, we'll be back with more. We're heading to Donegal Town, in fact, after we take this quick break. Tomorrow, Saturday, a mixture of weather. Sunday, though, we're looking at some nice summer sunshine, quite mild. The odd shower possible, but hey, often they predict these showers and we miss them. Right, I think our last shout out goes down to Donegal Town. It's the St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee member, Padraig Kennedy, joining us. And a lot going on in Donegal Town. It's not just St. Patrick's Day. There's a lot to mark, Padraig.
Absolutely. Good morning, Greg, and happy St. Patrick's again to you and all your listeners. It's a big celebration for Donegal Town this year because we're celebrating 550 years between the castle and the town itself. So it's a year-long event of different activities, and I suppose really highlighting and kicking it off would be the St. Patrick's weekend. You know, so we're very excited with that. There's a launch going on in the castle this weekend as well for the 550, and you know, there's great excitement around for the Patrick's Day parade. All the schools are busy, some of them are taking the theme of the 550, and we're blessed and honoured to have the Abbey Vocational School, the newly crowned All-Ireland champions, as our special guests with their Ulster Cup and their All-Ireland Cup. So we're extremely proud and excited to have them there.
Obviously, there's a bit of work going on the diamond. That won't interfere with anything, will it?
Well, I suppose traditionally the diamond itself was a great hub for before and after the parade where families come together, you know. So it's off bounds this year. And, you know, with Donegal County Council and their help, we're getting barriers. And so we're going to have no parking in around the route this year. And we're going to have barriers and try and keep everyone safe. And hopefully that everyone will obey the guards and the marshals and try and get it, you know, because we have the new one-way system as well, however that'll pan out. I don't know.
What time does the parade start at Park?
3 o'clock. 3 o'clock on the diamond.
Brilliant. All right, fantastic stuff. You know, go ahead.
Plenty of viewing spots all around the whole route. Come and enjoy it and be safe and have a great weekend.
Brilliant stuff. Take care of yourself. Right, thanks very much, Padraig Kennedy. Now, let me see. Relay for Life, Crana Crew are inviting you to join them for music, song, dance and crack with a cup of tea. It's in the Plaza, Buncrana, on Friday tomorrow. Gateway Singers and the Choir of Ages in attendance. Admission €10. Doors open at 8. Everybody's welcome. And also, too, I want to mention that... Well, I can't mention that because I can't read it. What's going on there? I'll come back to that in a sec. Right, just want to let you know that Around the Northwest with John Bresson is Around the Northwest. They're at a studio today. They're coming live from Foy & Company in Letterkenny. And they're there to mark a special announcement. They can't say what it is yet, but tune in. All will be revealed at 12:30. So join John Bresson for the usual mix of music, conversation and newsy bits and what have you, live from Foy & Company Letterkenny. And then there's quite an interesting little announcement, but it's not little, at 12:30. So stay tuned for that. All right. OK. Now, tomorrow is a special day. I'm going to run through things in as much time as I have. We're changing up the schedule tomorrow because it's a birthday bash. We're putting people out of their comfort zone in the hope that this will mean that you will donate for the day. It's for our three charities, the Irish Wheelchair Association, Jigsaw and Breast Centre Northwest. We're mixing things up. 6:30 to 9, naughty Friday morning sessions with Jimmy Stafford. A Friday panel with a difference at 9. Funny you should say that. Connell Gallen, Paddy Brown, Pádraig Gallagher amongst the guests joining John Breslin. Between 10 and 11, myself and Lee Gooch will team up for a fabulous auction. I've been flagging that throughout the morning. We have a coffee morning running between 10 and 12 noon here at Highland Radio. So call in for coffee, scones, tea, what have you. 11 o'clock, that's entertainment with a difference. Fanula Rabbits hosting that with Maria Rush, Michael Leddy, Noel Cunningham. Then between 12 and 1, a nostalgia hour with Donal, Canis and Aidan. Then from 1.15 to 2.30pm, Michaela Cock is in studio. Highland Ladies on the loose. Sinead Black, Jean Corran, Donna Marie Doherty, Trudy O'Donnell amongst the crew there. Then we head down to the Letterkenny Shopping Centre for Oisin Kelly's Jump Country Jamboree. Well, it's with the country boys. Oisin Kelly, Greg Hughes, Brendan Devaney. Oisin's been working on this. A few actually really quite interesting surprises in there. So call and see us in the shopping centre. David James is taking over from 3.30 to 5pm. It's pay to play. If you donate a €5, we'll play the song that you select. If it's a song you just don't want to hear, give us £50. I promise we won't play that. After the news then is the Highland Radio DJ mashup. Canis Wilson, Keith Fletcher, Marty Feel and Joe Dex having the crack, chatting about music, reflecting, I suppose, on music and the music they're involved in over the last 34 years, and also a bit of quiz for fun. Go to our website right now if you can support us in any way. We have an iDonate page there, and all the money raised will go to our three charities, the Irish Wheelchair Association, Jigsaw and Breast Centre Northwest. If you enjoy what we do here and if you enjoy Lee Gooch's show, please join me and him between 10 and 11 tomorrow. We'd love to raise a lot of money. We've got some fantastic prizes, details of which are on our socials as well. Right, thanks to Caroline Orr, as always, who researched and produced the show. When will we be back? When do I say I'm back? I'm back tomorrow between 10 and 11, but tune in from 6.30. You won't regret it. It's going to be just a wonderful day, and hopefully you'll get the buzz of what's happening and you'll feel generous.